Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Dalet. So let's once again just remember what has brought us to this moment. We had the case in the Mishnah where we spoke about being Mekadesh, a woman with a condition, and then came along the Mishnah to say if he took her to the Chuppah, Konsa Stam, the din would be that she doesn't get a Ketuvah. We weren't sure whether Konsas Stam was a continuation of where he had taken her originally with making a Tanai, or whether it was a separate case. That led us to the question about, in the event that that would take place, somebody was Mekadesh, a woman, said a Tanai, and then he took the same woman, and he didn't make a Tanai when he went to the Chuppah, we found that it was a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, you still need a get, even though you had made a Tanai in the Kiddushin. And Shmuel said, you didn't need a get, which initially we would have thought is a question of whether, since you didn't mention anything when you went to the Chuppah, so perhaps you changed your mind. That was what the Machlokas was about. Rav said, well, you need a get because maybe you changed your mind. But Abaya says, absolutely not. That is not the Machlokas. And you did not change your mind. And that's precisely why it is that there is no Kisuva. So why is there Kedushin? According to Rob, there's Kedushin because since a person does not want to be involved with casual sex, and if it turns out that his Tanai wasn't kept, he knows that there's no really justification for his sleeping with this woman. And because of that, he says, okay, you know, just in case. So I have Kavona to be Mekadesher. But I made it very clear that I don't want a woman with Nedarim. And therefore, if I divorce her afterwards, because it turned out that she had Nedarim, I don't have to pay her, because I made that very clear. That was the Sfarah of Rav. And even though we found that there were other places where we had Machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel about whether Adam Aisabi Latobi Latsnut, such as a case where he had originally been married to a Kitana, Midrabonan, and now she grew up, and now he had an opportunity to sleep with her with specific intent to make this a real Kedushin Diraita. There too, there was a Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. We pointed out that these are two different issues. I mean, because over there, he had some justification for sleeping with her. After all, they were married in Rabbana. So maybe, you know, you didn't go ahead and make it a Diraita. I understand. It's not the same as having casual sex with some girl that he's not even married to in any way. And on the other hand, as we said, in that case, he's been waiting to take this girl to be his full wife for the past 5 years while she was a Ketana. Obviously, he's going to take advantage of that opportunity to make her a full wife. So that was a different case. Let's set that aside. Turns out that that was essentially tangential. Then we got into the way that Shmuel understands the Mishnah, and Shmuel understands the Mishnah to be two completely separate cases. The first case would be that he went ahead and was Kuntza based on the original Kedushin. Even that case does not require a get. And the second case was a totally different case. It was where the person did not make any stipulations. He went ahead, he marries a woman, and now he says, I never wanted a woman. Everybody knows that. Nobody would want a woman with Nedarim, and that's where we say that she needs a get, but she doesn't get a ksuva. And the reason for that, why is there a difference? If we have an umdana, so then she shouldn't need a get either. And if we don't have an umdana, so she shouldn't need a ksuva. So we had a number of different approaches to that. One is that it's really a drabbanan that she needs a get. And because people are not going to understand, why is he just walking out on her? I mean, does that mean that a person who says, oh gosh, if I ever knew, he could just walk out? So since people don't understand the nature of the umdana vis-a-vis Nedarim, so because of that, okay, we made a gezeira d'rabbanan. That's one approach. The other approach is that there's a difference over here. If I'm not 100% sure, there's a big difference between momon, if I'm not sure whether this is an umdana. So then if she wants a ksuva, she's going to have to prove that this is not a valid assumption. She can't prove that. On the other hand, to be maternatious ish, that would mean that I'd let her go without a get. That's also not something I could do because I'm really not 100% sure. Now that evolved, that machlokas between Rav and Shmuel that we just described, was also evolved into a further question. Would it be true even in a case where it's the same woman without any intervening thing? He had been Mekadesh her, and then he went ahead and he took her as a wife without restating the Tanai. Well, says Rabbah, absolutely not. We're taking for granted over here that, of course, in the event that he took her directly from having made a Tanai in the Kiddushin, so then nobody would say that because of his moral qualms, he's now going to give up on his clearly stated hakpada not to want a woman with Nedarim. That was not where Rav was arguing. Rav was saying only that in the event that this was a different woman, so that he never made a Tanai for woman B, and therefore, the question over here is, do we say the fact that he made such a fuss over the first Kiddushin that he would mean to make such a fuss over the second Kiddushin about Nedarim? And, of course, doesn't literally mean another woman. It could be the same woman, but in a case where he divorced her after that Kiddushin and then took her back against, then she's like a separate woman. And then the question is whether we would rely on the original Tanai that I don't want a woman with Nedarim, or then we would say, well, since he didn't restate it, so there Rav would say, so that was a question. That was how Rabbah was absolutely convinced. And Abaye kept asking questions on him that it seems that that's not the case. And that even if it were the same woman, that is a subcategory of the machlokas. But meanwhile, we have a pretty simple take on the Mishnah. Shmuel's understanding the Mishnah as referring to two separate cases. And there's a question whether the two separate cases, according to Rav, would be where it's the same woman. So according to Rav, the halacha would be that even if there was according to Rav, there was a divorce and he retook her, that over there we would say, but if he went directly from the Kedushin and it clearly stated Tanai, Rav would also agree that, of course, Adam Ose Bilato Bilatznut, in the event that she's going to fool him. That was where we got up to yesterday in understanding the nature of the Mishnah and the various approaches. I'm not 100% sure, gentlemen, where we ended yesterday, because I was so excited to keep going, but I'm not sure if I actually did or if I was a good boy and stopped. I'm pretty sure I remember saying I want to be good. So if that's the case, worst comes to worst, we'll review a couple of extra lines, because I think that I ended with Itmar Nami. If somebody knows, is that correct? Reb Barnea says that's correct. Okay, so now we've got another Mandi Omar who agrees with Rab, and he says that there's no way that a guy would just forget about it tonight just because they're not a Mosabila Tobila, unless it was another woman or the same woman that he already had divorced. So Itmar Nami, same thing as Rabbah, Omer of Acher by Yaakov, Omer of Yochanan, somebody was Mekadesh al Tanai, and then he ends up sleeping with her, and it turned out that she is actually didn't keep the Tanai, so she had Nedarim. Everybody agrees. Rav and Shmuel both agree. Enetzrichem and Aget. What? Didn't Rav say he doesn't agree? Rav said beferish that the tzricha menaget, and we said that's because he holds in on the most sabilas mus. So obviously, Rav Acher by Yaakov was saying exactly what Rav said. What, are you out of your mind? You really think that if he went directly from a kedusha with a tanai to a chuppah without a tanai, you really think that he would just throw it out? Because of Eino Demosa Bilato Bilas. No, it's nonsense. Nobody says that. So apparently, Rav Acher bar Yaakov agrees to that. Now, we have a very fascinating kind of uncle-nephew interaction coming up over here. So what happened was, after Rav Acher said this, his nephew was Rav Acher Berei de Ravika. So it was a family name over here of Acher. And this was his brother's Bar Achter. This was his brother's son, right? His sister's son, I mean. So this was, sister had married Ravika, and they named him also Acha. So the nephew was learning with his uncle, Rav Acher bar Yaakov, and he had what he thought was a wonderful question, brilliant question. So the little nephew has a kasha. It says in the Braita that a chalitza mut'eid is kshera, that if you fool somebody into doing chalitza, then that's still a good chalitza. And what is a chalitza mut'eid? What do we mean by saying if you fool somebody? Reish Lakish, he tells the guy who is the Yavam, who is going to do the chalitza, he says to him, look, you know, the only way you can end up marrying this woman is if you do chalitza. Now, that's insane. Okay, but this guy was pretty dumb. So he buys into this, and he goes in, and he does chalitza, thinking that this way he's going to end up getting her as a wife, which is awful. Because, of course, what it does is it makes it impossible for him to ever get her as a wife. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan said about this, Reish Lakish, I don't know what the heck you're talking about, but I know a brisa that says beferish. Ani shone ben shnit kavein hu velo nitkavna hi u ben shnit kavna hi velo nitkavin hu chalitza tapsula. I have a beferish brisa that says I don't care whether he had full intent, he knew what he was doing, but she didn't. Or if she had full intent with the chalitza, she knew what she was doing, but he didn't. In either of those cases, the chalitza is worthless. And what are you giving me this nonsense? That he could think that this is the way he's marrying her, and that's a kosher chalitza. And he's not doing chalitza. That's absurd. That can't be the meaning of a ta'ut in a chalitza. You need achinit kavnu shneyem, va'at amr chalitza takshira. Ela, Amr of Yochan, let me explain to you properly. What is the meaning of a mistaken chalitza? It means that we told the guy, if you do chalitza, you do it on condition that she gives you $1 million. Oh, man, the guy says, I'm in. So he goes ahead and he gives chalitza, and then she never gives him $1 million. That's considered to be a chalitza bita'ut. So, says the nephew, so you see, I mean, how do you explain that? Is it not a mistake? And therefore, it should not be a chalitza? Must be because that since he went ahead and did the chalitza without demanding $1 million, that he apparently was meichel his condition, right? So the same thing is true over here. Since he, in the end, he went ahead and he goes and takes her as a wife and he never says anything about it, and he never says, well, you're absolutely sure there's no nadarim and you can... No, he doesn't talk about it. So apparently, it's off the what's the word in English? Where it's no longer a t'nai. Shoot.
Off the table?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So it's now off the table and there is no such t'nai, right? That was the very smart question of the young nephew. So you see, it's the same thing true over here. If the guy ends up sleeping with her, he didn't say anything about the t'nai, so apparently it's over. There's no more t'nai. So Uncle Rav Acha says to his little nephew, listen, little boy, I hope you had a good day in kindergarten. That's a very good question for a kindergarten boy. Yep. But you really think that you're speaking intelligently? Shabrikam? I mean, there's something much more fundamental that unfortunately you don't have enough experience to know about. Now, the real reason why Rabbi Yochanan was saying you could fool the guy into thinking that he's going to get $1 million is because, remember, conditions are not just a svara. Since you made it, no. We need a marker in the Torah that it's possible to do something which should be defined by a condition, because otherwise, I mean, why would a condition change realities? So where do we know the halacha that conditions are meaningful? From the story of B'nai Gad uv'nei Reuven. So Moshe Rabbeinu made this whole big condition. If B'nai Gad uv'nei Reuven go ahead and they fight in front of everybody else, and that they wait until all of the Shvatim have done the kibush that they want to do, et cetera, et cetera, then we give them this part of Eretz Yisrael to be theirs in the Eivra HaYarden, Mizracha, and so on. And if not, they're going to end up taking a portion of the other side of the Yarden. Now, that T'nai is the only basis for the concept of a T'nai. And therefore, any T'nai that, in order for it to be valid, has to match up with the details of that T'nai. Now, you'll notice that in that T'nai, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Yoshua, right? And he's telling Yoshua, listen, I'm not going to be around, but this is what you're to do. You're to give them, if they do this, then you're to do that. Now, that means that the Tanai that we're talking about is effective specifically where I'm able to tell someone else to do the thing that I'm making the Tanai about. Because that way it's an indication that it's completely under my control and I can even have somebody else do it. But in the event that I wouldn't have been able to do that, then it's not a good condition. Now, can I tell somebody else, listen, if she gives you $1 million, do me a favor and give her chalitza? Of course not. How can I have somebody else give her chalitza? Therefore, there's no din of B'nai Gad u'B'nai Reuven, and there's no Tanai. That's the reason. It's nothing to do with a guy being Meichel is Tanai. Next time you have a question, little boy, first talk to your kindergarten teacher and then come to me with your questions, okay? Or spend a couple of years learning. Anyway, so poor boy. But that was the end of that kasha. Now, this means that Tanai is the Efshe L'Kiyuma Yadei Shliach, Ki Atam, just like Moshe Rabbeinu gave that Tanai over to Yoshua, which means it can be done by a Shliach, which was what Yoshua was for him. That is a Tanai, but the Lo Efshe L'Kiyuma Yadei Shliach, like the case that Moshe had, that's not called a Tanai, because I can't learn it from the din of B'nai Gad u'B'nai Reuven. Wait a minute, man. We talked about a case where a guy says to this girl, listen, you know, let's sleep together and it should be a nice kedushin, assuming that daddy says, okay, right? I understand. Would you be able to say to somebody else, listen, if daddy says, okay, you sleep with her and make her my wife? That's a difficult thing to do. So how come over there we said that that is a valid tonight, huh? And over here with chalitza is not a valid. I think it's even harder to get somebody else to have intercourse with a woman on your behalf than it is to do chalitza on your behalf. So what in the world are you talking about? How does that fit with the dinim? That's a good tanai. No, that's a different issue. That's because since it says in the pasuk v'yatza v'hayta l'ish acher, what does v'hayta mean? Hayta means havaya. In other words, the state of being in kiddush, correct? Now, how do you achieve that state? Bekesev, bishtar, ubeviyah. But that means that the Torah is specifically making an equivalence between any type of havaya. So therefore, we view the fact that somebody else cannot perform intercourse as a kinyan for you as not being an indication that there's no shlichut. There is shlichut. You could send kedushin with kesev. You can send kedushin with shtar. You can't send bia because that's not called the act of bia at all. That's the point. It's not because the shliach is no good. And therefore, since the havayot are all compared to each other, in the same way that a tanai will help for kedusha kesef and kedusha shtar, a tanai therefore will help for kedusha bia. Mashenkin over here, chalitza is fundamentally not doable by a shliach, and we do not have any indication that it should be the same as a case that would be done with a shliach. Omar Revula Baraba, Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Elazar. Look, I'll give you another example of a case where the kedushin is not good, and then he goes out and sleeps with her, and we'll see whether he needs to have, or can we assume he had kavanah afterwards when he does sleep with her, whether he has kavanah to be kaina. Here's my cases. A guy gives a woman kedushin, which consists of the loan that he had previously made to her. So he says to her, okay, you remember I made that loan to you? $10,000. Why don't you use that loan to be kedushin? Okay, there's a little bit of a machlokes, the details, but remember that whenever, this I think is important to keep in mind, whenever we have a case that it's not really important to us to define all the details in the sugya we're learning, what we do is we take the simplest such case. Now, if we were learning Kedushin, we'd have to go into all of the details about the variations in Mekadesh B'Milva. So, for instance, if you want to be Mekadesh B'Milva and you said, with the fact that you are being nehne at this moment, that I am being meichel alone, be my wife. That would be good, because then you're not attempting to use the money of the milf. Furthermore, there would be a question if you said, the money that you have to pay me back, I'm being meichel. What we're talking about over here, says Tosfos, is where he said, the money that I originally made you at that time is a milfa. That should be your kedushin. Now, there's absolutely no question that that is not a kedushin. That money was not given for kedushin. It was given for use for investing in the new home she was buying, whatever. And therefore, it's no longer extant to be a kedushin. Okay, that's the simplest case. So that's the absolutely clear case. The simplest case doesn't have to get into those details, and Rashi doesn't get into the details. He just says that he's going to say, you don't have to pay me back the milva, and therefore you should be mekudeshes. Okay, now you got to figure out how that works, but it's not a good kiddush. All right, then he goes ahead and he sleeps with her. Or suppose he makes, now here we're talking about our case. He makes it tonight. I don't want a woman with nedarim. And then he goes and he sleeps with her. Or he gave her less than a shavar pruta, and then he sleeps with her. In these cases, everybody would agree. This would be true, like even according to Shmuel, it would be true. Everybody would agree that in cases like this, she definitely has to get a get. Why? Because everybody agrees. This is totally different than what we learned before. Everybody agrees that ein adam oseh be'ilato be'ilatznus. This is not true. Not according to Abaye. Not according to Rabbah. We're talking about the same woman. And what in the heck were we talking about before? What about all of the cases that we spoke about earlier? That, says Rav Hula Bar Ava, or at least Rav Elazar, who he's quoting, that was talking about the cases in the Mishnah. Does it say anything about his sleeping with her? No, it says kansa. You know what kansa means? He took her to the chuppah. I'm telling you that all of you guys are wrong, and that the Mishnah never implied that if he had slept with her, that there would be any question. If he had slept with her, Rav, Shmuel, everybody would have agreed. You have the whole thing wrong. And our Mishnah was talking about a case where he never did sleep with her. So if he never did sleep with her and he just took her to the chuppah, so then the only question is he meichel? But in the event that he was Baal, I'm telling you, in all these three cases that I just told you about, where the original condition was useless, that if he actually goes and sleeps with her, he doesn't want Bilato to be Bilat's nus, okay? And that is a brand new approach to the whole way of understanding the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Ava, Amar Rav Menachem, Amar Rav Ami, if you use Pelchus B'Shavah Prut, and then you slept with her. Now, in that case, she does need a get. But the other cases that you quoted, I don't agree. So in other words, I agree that you would never take a woman after giving her a lousy kedushin, which is less than a shavah pruta. There for sure you would have had in mind, you don't want bilato to be bilat. No, so if you sleep with her, you want her to be your real wife. What's the difference between the cases, the three cases? Why does Rav Ami say only in the case it was less than shavah pruta? But if you were mekadesh b'milva, or you were mekadesh with a tznai, that wouldn't be true? It's very simple. Every idiot knows that you must have a certain minimal value of a pruta in order to make kedushin. That's not something that people make mistakes about. So behohu delotoi, people don't make a mistake about that issue. And he knows perfectly well that he's not really married to her. And there, it's certainly true that if he's going to be sleeping with her, we can assume that this is not meant as casual sex. He did go through the whole thing of giving her kedushin. In that case, it makes perfectly good sense to say that if he sleeps with her, it's in order to be able to be a full wife. And he had in mind that it should be a kosher kedushin. Masha Inkin, in the other cases, what you're telling me, everybody knows Mekadesh B'milva ain't a Mekadesh. They don't even know what Mekadesh B'milva means. Don't give me that stuff. So over there, I would assume that the guy thinks it was a good condition. Or if he was Mekadesh with a T'nai. I mean, over there also, there might be any, maybe he never even thinks that there might be Nadorim on her. He figures, listen, if she's ready to go to bed with me, obviously she knows that I don't want a woman that has Nadarim. So she must be saying it's okay. I don't have Nadarim. Why would he have in mind Bedavka B'Makadosh or B'Biyah? So there we would make a mistake. And we have no reason to assume that afterwards he wanted to make Kedusha. So now it turns out, as we've seen, we have all kinds of different issues about whether we can rely on the fact, such as the case of the Ketana who grew up, or the case where he was a Kotan at the time that he made Kedushin, or the case of the Pachas Bishava Prut, or the cases that we have over here. They're not all the same, or the case that daddy wants it. There may be a lot of sub-machlokasin about the particular cases, about what we can assume that people intended. But in general, we certainly understand that if a person is well aware that he needs to do more to make his marriage valid, and he's going to be taking a woman to bed, then he wants it to be okay if he thinks it's not okay. So the question is, where does he think it's not okay? That's a different issue. Or where does he suspect it's not okay? Like that'd be the question of the Nedarim. Those are machlokasin. In terms of the overall halacha, we're ready to agree that, of course, in such cases, the guy would not want bi'ilat or bi'ilatznot. So these are the later approaches to the Mishnah, and that we could talk about the Mishnah as referring to a chuppah as opposed to actually sleeping with this woman. Amar of Kahana Mishmedu Ula, somebody who makes a t'nai, which is what we've been talking about over here. He's Mekadosh al-t'nai, and then he's Baal, then you definitely need a get, even though she did not Mekayim the t'nai. Though she ended up having the Dorim, she definitely needs a get. One thing's for sure, the ksuva you can talk about, but the chachomim vadai could not bring themselves to be matir her on the basis of he definitely did not intend to take her again, and he must have had in mind the original t'nai, even in the case where it's the same woman, and we just don't know. So we can't let her go without a get. And that runs against the psak that we had before, remember, where we said that Rabbi Shmuel apparently was holding like Rabbi Shmuel. And this is Lafuki Mihaitana, Dom Rabbi Yudama Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. A beautiful alternative drasha to that pasuk that we've learned so much from. Vehi lo nitfasa. So in a case where we suspect a sota, and we say vehi lo nitfasa, she wasn't raped, so she went in there to be with the guy, then the pasuk is taken for granted asura. But if she had been raped, only then she would be mutara. So remember, we keep making drasha. What's the drasha? Because it's vehi lo nitfasa. So she, okay, but there's another case where even if lo nitfasa, and she did commit adultery, she would still be muteret. How's that possible? Very simple. In a case, exactly like our Mishnah, where the guy had said, I only want to take you on condition that there are no nedarim. So kiddushah were kiddushay ta'ut. So over there, he didn't know. And not only that, it's 5 years later. In the interim, he got her pregnant. She's carrying around a baby in a backpack, and now she goes and she sleeps with this other guy. In that case, says the pasuk, she's not asura. How come? Because she's not married to him. That's how come. Because since there was a t'nai in the kedushin, even though nobody mentioned it again and he didn't realize that there was a problem, if it turns out that that t'nai was not mekuyam, she could just walk out of the marriage. Afilu benam murkava ktefa. All she has to say to him is, ba-ba, baby, and take up with this other man. And it turns out that the marriage was annulled milachatchila. They were never married in the first place. So that explains the whole question. Now, that would mean that we have cases where he could say beferish that if it turns out that we did not keep to what he said, that that would mean that ultimately she can walk out of the marriage because it was never a marriage. That's what we are learning over here. So what this means is, up until this point, what we find so far is that according to Abaye, let's go through the different approaches that we have over here. Rava said that the whole machlokes between Rav and Shmuel was that she's like another woman, or she is another woman, or like another woman in the sense that he had divorced her, taken her back again. And then the question is, Is it defined by the original Tanai or is it not? According to Shmuel, it is. And according to Rav, it's not, because he would never have wanted the bia to be a biasnus. But Baya said, I never heard of such a thing. It was clear that we took for granted that it's the same woman. And the question over here is that according to Shmuel, listen, there's definitely a Tanai. Rav says, even though there is a Tanai, but the guy doesn't want Bilato to be Bilatznut. Even in that case, we went directly from the Kiddush. Those were two approaches. And Rebbe Lozer is saying that the entire idea in the Mishnah is not talking about Bia. This is how Tosfos understands it. The Mishnah is talking about he took her to the Chuppah. In the event that he actually sleeps with her, everybody would agree. This is a total opposite approach, because according to him, even Shmuel agrees. And that in such a case, a person would certainly not want Biasnus, even though he went directly. Absolutely not. Rav says there's no, that in this case where there's no other woman, meaning that we don't turn her into another woman, if he goes ahead and sleeps with her, Rav and Shmuel both agree. In this case, that ain't adama sibilato bilatznut, the exact opposite of the approach that we took before. So this is what we've seen so far in the Gemara. Now, the Brice that we just had says that you can absolutely walk out on a marriage where it is that you made a tnai, and it turned out that the tnai was not mekuyam. So we have two possibilities for that, as we spoke about in the Mishnah. One is the case of the Nidorim. And the other is the case where she has a mum. Now, both of those cases could have very different outcomes in the event that we take away the neder. So suppose she ends up finding a chacham who is able to be matir that neder. Or suppose she finds a surgeon who is able to correct the mum. So what happens then? Turn her up on it. If she goes to a chacham and the chacham finds a petach to the neder and he's matir her, then she's a mekudeshet, because it turns out that she did not have nedarim. If she goes to a surgeon and he cures her, v'ripeota, then she still is not mekudeshet. Huh? What's the difference? I understand. It's the same case. She doesn't have nedarim, and she doesn't have the moon. No, there's a big difference. Ma ben chacham l'rofe. The difference is enormous. The chacham, when he finds a petach, he is retroactively removing the neder. Because remember what he says to her, would you have made the neder if you had realized? She says, no. So then he says, okay, fine. So then that means that your real das was not to make the neder. So obviously he's retroactively annulling the neder, right? So then it never affected the kedusha. But we've never yet found a surgeon who does his surgery by going back in time and making the moon not appear. I mean, it's a brilliant idea, and it's definitely a lot easier than doing the surgery later, but technologically, it's currently unfeasible. So therefore, since the doctor's only going to cure her from this point onwards, it doesn't affect the tanai, because at the time of the Kedushin, she did have a moon. That's the difference. But it says differently in a Braisa. How are you going to explain this other Braisa? The other Braisa says, if she goes to a chacham and he's matir to her, or in the case of the mum, she goes to a doctor and he cures her, in either case, she's not mekudeshet, even in the case of the heter of the neder. How do you explain that? Oh, that's simple, says Rava. We know that there are two very important shitas in this, a big machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. And let me remind you, says Rava, what the machlokas is. Ha Rabbi Meir, the first price was going on leaving Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that Adam rotzeh shetit bazeh ishto bebeitin. Doesn't mean rotzeh, it means he's accepting that if his wife needs to go to Besdin to get a heter, he accepts that. Okay, fine, if that's what it takes for you to get the heter, I'm all right with that. And so, since he said that it's okay if she gets rid of the neder, so then that would mean when he made a tnai that she does not have any nedarim, he was certainly, in that case, saying that if she could get rid of the netter, that's also fine, because I don't have any hakpot on your going to Beis Din to get rid of the netter. And therefore, it says that if the chacham ends up being matter the netter, it's okay, because according to Rabbi Meir, I have no problem with that. Machenken, the second riser, says, I don't care if afterwards she finds the chacham to be matter the netter, it's not going to help. That's going according to Rabbi Lazar. Because Rabbi Lazar says, when a person says, I don't want my wife to have nedarim, what it means is, and I don't want her to have to show up in court, make an ass out of us by going ahead and telling them that she made this idiotic netter. Now everybody has to know it, and it's a bizoyan, and she walks in. What is she doing in a courtroom? What's a woman doing in a courtroom? I'm sorry. I don't want that either. In which case, even if she manages to get it mutter, he could say, listen, I mean, that's not what I had in mind when I made the tonight. You still have, as far as I'm concerned, you still had nedarim. Just to bring out, says Rabbi, where is this machlokas? In case you're not aware of this machlokas, let me tell it to you. Mahi, it's not. This is a machlokas that we should know from Maseches Gittin. It says over there that in the event that somebody gives a get, and he says, I'm giving this get to my wife because she made a netter, he can never take her back again. Same thing is true. If he gets rid of his wife and he gives her a get because there are rumors about her hanging out with another guy, Mishum Shem Ra, Lo Yachzir, he can never take her back. And the question is, why can he never take her back? So there's two shitas about why he can never take her back. One shita is in order to prevent him from having the ability to destroy her life. Because if Lamaisa, it turns out that she gets a heter for the netter, so then he can come back and he'll say to his wife, oh, sweetheart, I never would have given you a get if I would have known you could have gotten a heter for the netter. I'm taking you right back. You take me right back. And what about all of my little mamzerim that I've had for the past 20 years with this other guy? That's a disaster. And the other thing would be true. It turns out that there are witnesses who say this rumors about her, absolutely horrific. People made it up and made a big issue out of something that was stupid. Oh, comes he along to her 20 years later and says, had I only known that they were just vicious rumors, I never would have divorced you. I'm taking you back. And what about all my little mamzerim? So because in order to avoid that issue, we tell him right up front, listen, buddy, if you're going to divorce her, you got to understand, you can never take her back, okay? So you better research the issue to your total satisfaction now so that you'll never be able to come back and say, I would never have done this. And if you take the chance of giving her a get right now, even though it turns out later that it was not really well-based, that proves to us that you don't really like her and you want to give her a get. And therefore, the get is never going to be cancelable by you. You can't take her back. That's one approach. The other approach is that this idea of not being able to take her back is a derabbanan. And it's in order to make it clear that the rabbanan are very makbid on women who are prutzot b'nedarim, and or prutzot in their behavior, obviously, in the case of the shemra. And because of that, the rabbanan made a knas to be mevatel all the kedushin on this basis. So people should realize how serious the darim are and how serious such pritzos is. Okay. Now, so that's a machlokas. So now Rabbi Yehuda says, now it's not so simple. If the netter is a public netter, then she would never be able to make it mutter in court. She couldn't get a heter because it was done to the public. Then he can't take her back. But if the get was given because of a netter that was in private, then he can take her back. So since Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, we don't pass him like this, but since Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that a neder shuhuder barabim, you cannot get a heter for, so then the real reason for the Mishnah has nothing to do with maybe she'll get a heter, because you couldn't get a heter. What the Mishnah is about is a knas, that the Chachamim said you cannot take a woman who is so prutsa in a darim that she would do such a terrible thing to make a neder that has no heter. That's the point. So therefore, in that case, lo yachzir, but in a case where it was known, So in that case, it would be actually, it was known only between us. In that case, it's not as porut. That would be the point, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So lo yadu bo rabim yachzir. What about the fact that he can mess up her life? Yeah, I'm not worried about that. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that wasn't the reason. The reason was a knas. Rabbi Meir Omer, here's the issue. If the netter requires a chakirat chacham, and he couldn't do anything about it, and only a chacham can do it, so then he cannot take her back. But if he divorced her because of a netter that he could have been matir, then he can take her back. So he understands that the reason is to prevent the kilkul that could come later on of turning her children into mamzerim, because he could say, well, I didn't know that a chacham would be able to be matir it. But if it was something that he could have been matir and he wasn't matir, so then he can't say that. And therefore, there would be no reason for us to be afraid he can be makalkaler. What's he going to say? Omar Rebbe Elazar, lo asru tzarech ela mipnei she'eino tzarech. The whole point over here was Rebbe Meir is right that we need to protect her. But the point is that you can never say that if I had known that she would be able to get a heter, I would never have divorced you. But because basically I don't want her to have to go anyway to a bezin. So I don't need to save her from kilkul in that case. It's dafka the other case that I need to prevent her from kilkul, when it does not require her to go to bezin, where he could have done the hafaras haneder himself, and he may claim, oh gosh, I had no idea that I was able to be made for that neder, and had I realized it, I never would have given you a get. That's why we can't allow him. It's the exact opposite of what you're saying. So, okay, this is a raya. The Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar have a machlokas about whether a person is willing for his wife to go to Bezdin. So according to Rabbi Elazar, I don't need to protect her from his claiming he wouldn't have given her a get if he had known she could get a heter from a Bezdin, because we know that that's not a good excuse, because he wouldn't want her to go to a Bezdin. And Rabbi Meir is saying, no, that's dafka where we need to worry about it, is where she could go to Bezdin. So you see that this is exactly the question. By the way, where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that if someone makes a neder in public, that there's no way to be matir that neder in Bezdin? That I learned from the story of the Givonim. So remember the Givonim, they fooled Bnei Yisrael. They pretended to be Jewish. They come to Yoshua, to be Geirin. So they come to Yoshua, and they were actually part of the Shiva Amonim. And they didn't realize that if they wanted to, they could simply have become real Geirin by giving themselves over, even as the Shiva Amonim is the way we prosper. So if that's the case, they thought they were going to have to be wiped out. So they pretended to come from far away, and they dressed in other dress, and they pretended to be speaking other languages and so on. And because of that, they wanted to become Geirin. And the Nisiei Aida made an agreement with them that they can live in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll keep Sheva Mitzvahs and so on, and they'll never be hurt by Bnei Yisrael. Then it turns out they were liars, and they were part of the Shiva Amonim. And yet it says, Lo Ikum Bnei Yisrael. So you see that if you made a shvua, then if it was done barabim, then you can't change your mind. Well, what is called a rabim when you're saying this? Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, the Torah says what rabim is. Rabim is three. Where? In the case of zivas. So what does it say? It says yamim rabim, right? A woman, Ishaki Azuv Zov Doma Yamim Rabim, below 8 Nidata. So Yamim is 2 and Rabim is 3. So you see that the neder should have been Rabim would be the same idea. 3 people. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, 10 people, because it says Nisieha Eidah. And as you know, we learn out Eidah Hara'ah Hazot is 10 people, because it didn't include Kalev and Yoshua. And therefore, we know that Eidah is 10 people. And that means that Rabbi Yehuda derives it from there. But again, this is tangential. But basically, as far as the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, it boils down to the following, says Rabbi. Now, Rabbi Meir is essentially saying that kol neder, shetzorech hakiras chacham, there you can't take her back. Why? Because he could come back and say, gosh, if I had known. And then he leaves her with a disaster on her hands. And the Rabbi Elazar says exactly the opposite. The only reason that they ossered her in a case where it would need the chacham is element pnesha eino tzarech. It's only because of the case where she wouldn't have had to go to Beis Din. But if she has to go to Beis Din, then it wouldn't have been a problem. What's the machlokes? Clearly, the bottom line is Rabbi Meir savar that a person is willing to accept adam rotzeh shetitvaze ishto bebeit din. And therefore, he could say, had I known you could have gone to Beis Din and gotten a heter, I never would have given you a get. Was Rabbi Elazar savar, a guy would never want her to go to the Beis Din to get that heter. Therefore, how can he say, if I had known what, that she needs to go to Beis Din? And you would have accepted that? Absolutely not. In adam rotzeh, shetitvaze ishto bebeit din. And therefore, he would have given her a get even if he had known. So there's no way that he can be mekalkel. And this is the reason that I, Rava, say that there's no contradiction between the two brises. The brisa that says that in the case, if the chacham is matir her, that the halacha is that the kedushin is a good kedushin, that's going according to Rabbi Meir, that it's okay for her to go to Beis Din to get the heter. The brisa that says there's no way that would be a good kedushin, even if she's matir the neder lemafreya, that's going according to Rabbi Elazar. That included in the tenai that she doesn't have kedushin is the fact that she won't go to court to get a heter for an existing neder. Rava Amar, whereas Rava says, no. It's not the difference between Rabbi Meir. This is Rava's first, was the one who gave the first point. But Rava says, there's no contradiction. It's another issue, nothing to do with this. We're talking in the second brisa that even if she gets a heter from the netter, the guy does not want her to be his wife. Why? Because she's a woman who makes nedarim. We're talking about a woman who comes from a very chosher of a family. And in the event that she does this again, and he has to give her a divorce because she's going to make a neder, he's going to end up being usher on her relatives, you know? But he doesn't want to be usher on her relatives, because in the event that he doesn't marry her, she's got a lot of nice sisters that he likes to marry, or other relatives that are usher to her if he would ever be married to this one. So he ain't taking any chances at all. He says, no. If she's the kind of girl who makes the dorm, it's not that point that I don't want to have the netter on her. If she goes to Beis Din, it's okay. I don't want to take a chance because I don't want to ever be usher to this family. There's too many good girls in that family. And if I'd rather give up on taking this one and have a chance on getting another one, than maybe taking this one who is prone to the dorm. So that's the point. In that price, which is the second price, so we're talking about an isha chashuva. And therefore the guy says, I don't want to take her if I'm going to have to ultimately, even if be giving her a get, because even if ultimately the current netter that she has, she ends up finding a heter in Beis Din, I don't want it. I don't want to take any chances. Well, Shane Kane, the first price is talking about a normal case. Okay, fine, I'll chance it. Worst comes to worst, I can always give her a get. But wait a minute. If the brisa, according to the way you, Rava, is learning, so then if the second brisa is talking about a case from an isha chashuva, so then the end of that brisa, which is talking about the same case in the inverse, and remember that all along people make the mistake of thinking that we have double standards, not we treat women differently. It's not true. The exact same thing we have in the opposite case, where a woman says, I do not want to marry this guy if it turns out that he has any nedarim on him or any mumin on him. It's exactly the same case. There's no difference between the two cases. Now, the end of this braita actually talks about that type of stipulation that a woman makes. But the problem is that if we're talking about similar cases that we're juxtaposing, a case where she makes the condition versus the case where he makes the condition, then the same argument of, I don't want to be locked out of such a wonderful family, should apply to both cases. And yet they don't. Because in the Sefer, the second Brice is talking about an Isha from a Mishpacha Chashuva. So then how do you explain the end of that Brice, where it says that would not be the same if the husband ends up going into court and he gets a heter and he goes to a doctor and he gets cured, then she would be mikudeshet. Okay, now how do you explain that? There shouldn't be any kind of difference. Now, as far as the question of the surgery, it's different because of the psychology. As we're assuming that he doesn't want to take his beautiful new bride, who actually has three arms, you know, he doesn't want that bride, even though ultimately she only has two arms because the surgeon cured her. That doesn't make it good for me. I really don't want a woman with three arms. You know, if I wanted to marry an octopus, I'd find one. So Masha Inkein, the woman isn't mocked at what it is at the time of the Kiddushin. She just wants to know that the marriage is going to be a good marriage and she'll be able to live with the guy with two arms who was cured by surgery. That's good. But what about this thing? I mean, the thing about the neder, it should be the same thing. Why Mikudeshet? So she should say Eina Mikudeshet, because she could say, if we're talking about an Adam Choshev, and undoubtedly the cases are juxtaposed, so it's got to be the same case of the man who comes from a good family. And she should say, well, the same way that if the woman comes from a good family, he could say, I don't want to risk being ushered to this family. Why can't she also apply the same halacha? I don't want to risk being usher in this family. She could say, lo nechali di yitzah bikrevei. I don't want to become usher to this family. No. We never say that about a woman. Basically, we have Reish Lakish's understanding of the totally different psychology that is effective in men versus women when it comes to marriage. Men really look for the specific woman that satisfies the girl of his dreams. Women want to be married. That's the difference. And therefore, says Reish Lakish, women don't really care about this particular husband. Whatever, I get myself a husband, we'll make it work somehow or other. I just want to be married. I can't be an old maid. That's their only real concern. So Ihi Becholdu Nechala, she's happy with any husband as long as he can be lived with. Because Reish Lakish said, Kiryama Reish Lakish, Tav Lametav Tandu, Milametav Armala. Every woman thinks to herself, I'd rather have two bodies than living alone like an almana. That's all. Abaye says, you know, there's a saying, a woman who is married to an ant, that's one of those little things that crawls around. So basically, her husband is an ant. That's fine. She's still Kursi Becharata Ramile. She puts her chair with all of the other women, the most hush of a women. Nobody's, because she doesn't look down at herself because she married an aunt. At least she's married, you know. Rapapa says, there's another saying. The Nafsa Gavra. If you have a woman who's married to a Nafsa, Nafsa is a man who is very low class Parnosa. So he gets wool combed. It smells, it just came off the animal and so on. It's like a very unskilled thing. It doesn't matter. Tikre b'sifei bova v'tesif, she'll call out to him. Hey, Nafsa husband, come and sit down next to your little girl, will you? She doesn't care because she's married. Ravashi says, Dekulsa gavra, a guy who comes from a family that they say are really mamzerim or something. She doesn't care. She's married. She won't even ask him, Loboy Talfche Lakidra. She's not even going to ask him to give her some chumis to put her lentils, what it really means, to put into her cholent. All I want is the man. I don't give a hang what he's like. And the reason why that would be true is because if they were willing to take a man like that, it's because they want to have someone to blame for their pregnancies. That's all. So as long as this guy is capable of getting her pregnant, she has nothing to do with this guy. But if she's going to be sleeping around with anyone who calls, she has to be able to tell the neighbors that the children are hers from her husband, right? So therefore, all of them are actually mizanot. And they only want these husbands to load the balayam. They want to be able to say, No, no, what do you mean? Me and my hubby, we get along just fine. I mean, she doesn't let her near. But that's not the point. The point is that this is the ultimate tavlamei taftandu. Obviously, we're not saying everyone is this kind of thing. But in the event that she went so far as to marry an aunt, that's because ultimately it's the same psychology.